I'm turning back to 1 Peter chapter 5. And here in this last chapter of this first letter to the Christians scattered in various parts of the Middle East at that time, the Apostle Peter here in this last chapter, in the first part of his letter, now press home to us the need of the church, the need for Christians, not only to the Christians at that time who were under great persecution, but also for us in our time, that we may remain steadfast, that Christians, particularly those who are suffering, afflicted, that we may, in the help or with the help of the Holy Spirit, persevere, and particularly to those who are tasked with the responsibility of feeding God's people with God's word, the elders, meaning to say the pastors and the teaching elders and the leaders of the church, who have this responsibility of providing spiritual oversight to God's people, that they will persevere in this work, and they will not give up despite the cold response, perhaps because of rejection, but that they may continue in this work of feeding man's soul, of teaching believers the duties that belongs to God's people. For us, we want to this morning, I would like to direct your thoughts on this theme or this subject, a remedy for all anxiety, and which is a common thing that happened to Christians and non-Christians. But that's the difference. For us, the Christians, here in the Word of God, we have instruction as to how we ought to handle and deal with anxieties that do come upon the believers. And our text reads in verse 7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He, God, careth or cares for you." But to help us understand verse 7, the teaching in verse 7, we need to consider the preceding verse that says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." The word care refers to anxiety in the original, refers to apprehension or worry. But there is a great difference in so-called the type of worry. The worries that the people of the world has or carries with them, but the worries that we Christians face, that is in a sense different. Because we know from Scripture, brethren, that there are some selfish carnal cares which we Christians fall into, which we must not cast upon God, that we must not place such care, such selfish, not glorifying God kind of care in prayer to Him. It is an insult to God. It is an act of infamy on our part if we should ask God for assistance in such kind of carnal, worldly cares. Such apprehension or such worries would never disturb our peace if Christians know the Word of God, understand the Word of God, and be obedient to the precept which I mentioned and highlighted here in verse 6. If we understand the verse before 7, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time," then such kind of worries or anxiety that do come to us, those carnal cares, then we will not have any problem or be disturbed by it. Because this, if with this understanding of verse 6, then it cuts off the head at once many of those anxiety into which Christians sometimes fall into. For instance, what are the carnal cares that Peter is talking about here? Carnal cares refers to covetous care. If I, for example, desire to get and grab more than what is absolutely necessary, that I may become rich, wealthy, faster, and that it will bring me fame, then I cannot go on my knees and ask God to care or to carry this care for me, because it is not of none of His sending. It is not from the Lord. The Lord Jesus taught us to say or to pray what? As He taught His disciples, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus did not teach us to pray, Lord, give us more or what we need in the future, but give us this day. Notice that word, which we often quote out of context. It is give us this day. It is not give us in the future, but it is give us this day our daily bread. And has given us another example in the book of Proverbs through his servant Agur. And this person in Proverbs pray, give me neither poverty nor riches, Proverbs 30 verse 8. So I cannot pray with honesty as a hoarder, as a covetous person, and ask that God would enable me to be wealthy. That kind of care I ought not as a Christian to indulge in, and I should never tolerate if I attended to that precept. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And furthermore, there is also the care of ambition. Now, it is nothing wrong and sinful for a Christian to be ambitious. For example, you are ambitious to become a chief executive officer or whatever, that to attain honor and eminence. In fact, we Christians are ought to do our very best and our utmost better than the non-believers. Not for our selfish gain, but for the glory of God. You see, so there is this care of ambition when we desire to attain honor, eminence and fame, to stand out among the crowd, so to speak, to be looked upon and admired by all, to be almost adored and worshipped by some, like what many people do to all these celebrity, singer, actor, actresses, politician and what have you. But if we allow prideful ambition to creep into our minds, our hearts, we cannot go to God with it. God will not undertake that for us. It is a care which we dare not cast before God, for to do so is to empty the filth of our house upon the altar of God's sanctuary. But then I say, it is a care which should and ought not to disturb the Christian if our souls were lowly before the Lord. If we humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, such kind of carnal, selfish, vain glory, ambition will never trouble us. And so let us commence our study of verse 7. Firstly, to expound on this disease of anxiety or care. and then to look at some description of it. And then secondly, from this text, we want to find the remedy, the cure, so to speak, endeavoring only and by the help of the Holy Spirit, and only by the help of the Holy Spirit, to apply this remedy for the Christian. And lastly, we want to draw some comfort from the last part of the verse that says, "For He, God, cares for you." The first head, the disease of care described. The disease of care described. The care mentioned in the text refers to cares that are legitimate, as opposed to those that I mentioned earlier, those lustful, carnal, anxious care. However, even such legitimate cares, such reasonable care that we Christians have, if we are to carry this to the excess, then it becomes sin. It has in itself the nature of sin. We will see clearly here for a moment that anything that which is a transgression of God's law is sin. If there were other command, or rather if there were no other command in the Bible, the one in our text being broken involves us in sinning against God. But this precept is earnestly repeated by our Lord Jesus many times, and we find this in Scripture as you read God's Word. And it is one which the Apostle have reiterated again and again, and one which we cannot neglect without involving transgression. And then beside the essence of anxious care is the imagining that we are wiser than God. That is why, you see, it's so important for us to look at verse 6 before we can understand verse 7. Humble yourself, you see, because Christians often have this. We must understand that the nature of anxious care has this component in it. And what is that component? We think that we are wiser than God, which in simple word means pride. We think we know better. Oh, I have all this experience, I have this, I have that, I have friends and experts in this area, and therefore I think my way is better than God's way. And so to do so for him, those who think that they are wiser, that God cannot do without us in that sense, and we take upon ourselves that burden which he, God, is either not able or unwilling to carry for us. We have such thoughts. There are Christians who think this way. But I submit to you, my dear friends, that this presumption, this audacity to think that you are wiser than God, has in it the very nature of sin. To attempt to know better than God, to snatch from his hand the helm by which he guides us, to attempt to correct God's charts, to remap God's providence. This indeed is such an impenitence that we must repent of. God, who need no counsel from us or nor from angels, when he made the heavens and the earth and balanced the clouds and stretched out the skies like a tent to dwell in, how dare we, sinful, mortal human beings, created by him, come before him and offer advice to perfect his wisdom, to aid to his plan? So, you, if there is such anxious care, then you have fallen into sin. Furthermore, this anxious care very frequently leads to other sin. And those of us who have been Christian long enough, walking with the Lord, you know it, that this is true. Sometimes to over, or rather overt, cares of transgression, the one who has no firm trust in God or in God's providence, we may be tempted to lend our hand or our skill or our experience to God, to aid God, which is to forsake prayer and to forget the promise in order to trust, or rather to forget God instead of praying to Him and seeking Him, as we are told in Proverbs, to commit all thy ways unto the Lord and He shall give thee the desire of thy heart. Instead of doing that, we turn to trust our friends, the wisdom of our friends, or to the judgment of someone whom we look up to. Now this is forsaking the fountain to go to the broken cistern, a sin which was, or which we read about in the Old Testament of the Israelites. That's what they did, and that provoked God to anger and to punish them. And even if it led to no other act except this sin of preferring the counsel of man to the direction of God, excessive anxiety, brethren, is to be detested. We must not allow ourselves to go to that extreme. But think of the many sins which other anxieties engenders in our heart, isn't it? Take, for example, unbelief. What does unbelief leads to? Unbelief leads us to doubt God. Unbelief leads us to forsake God. Lack of faith, which is proven by our distrust of God. And this spirit of, allowing this spirit of hopelessness, of despair, to grow, to fester in our hearts, which put our eyes off the Lord Jesus, and so that we cannot see the light after the rain. Think, brethren, how easily we fret or we worry and mistrust the Lord, and this grieve and vex the Spirit of God, and often cause God to leave us alone, so that our prayers are hindered, so that all our testimony is blemished, and so that we give ourselves rather to self-seeking than to seeking God. All these things are sin, the fruit of Gomorrah, which grow on the vine of our cares. This debasing care or worries are plentiful mother of transgression. Distrust is the egg out of which many a mischief is hatched. We indulge in this care and we think surely we are doing no wrong. And that is the problem with us. Often we think this care and get ourselves into all this anxious, debasing care, and yet we see no sin in it. We see no wrong in it. Whereas the indulgence in them itself is a sin and is beside a tempter, which guides us onward to the commission of other sin. For the person who is full of anxious care is suitable or ripe for any other sin, but he who has cast his care on God stands firm, secure. Neither shall the evil one be able to touch him or her. Moreover, as it is itself sin, the mother of sin, take note also that it brings misery. Does it not? Does it not bring misery to you to set your heart and mind on all this carnal cares and anxiety that gives you no peace? You can't sleep well. For where sin is, sorrow must follow. He who have this spirit cast down in despair has only to fix his or her thoughts upon himself, upon his circumstances instead of looking unto God and to His promises. You want to get yourself stressed up? Very simple. Just keep on focusing on your cares, on your worries, on your despair, and don't look to Jesus in prayer, in humility, seeking Him. That's all it takes to bring us down. Frail, weak, sinful men and women, boys and girls. And then some of us, you are blessed in a very good position. The Lord in His mercy bless you and put you in position of honor. But you can also make yourself miserable, if you please. How? As I said, instead of looking at how much and how good the Lord has blessed you, you keep on looking at what you do not have. And you keep on looking at what others have. And you forget that God indeed has blessed you much. All you need to do is to do that. And you blame God, as though God is unable or refuse to give you what you want. You see, brethren and friends, poverty does not necessarily involve sorrow. So, nor do riches of themselves bring peace or happiness. You see, it is us in our sinful nature. We think by our physical sight, when we look at someone rich, wealthy, having this and that, and we thought, this person must be very happy, you see. What he or she wants, what she or he wants to eat, want to purchase, want to buy, want to enjoy. He has it. He's wealthy. She's wealthy. Therefore, this person must be the most happy person in life. It's not true. It is not true. I'm sure you, those of us who are older, you know of friends who are very rich and they cannot sleep well. They are always worrying. The stock market crash. When is it going up? When is it going down? Their mind, their heart is always filled with that. You think they have peace? You think only they have peace by their, when you look outwardly. But deep down in their heart, they are stressed out, miserable. And so you see, riches too. Does it bring peace or happiness? No. If any of us wish for misery, you need not go out of your own house. There is no need to travel far for causes of discontent. You can be supplied with plenty and be poor. You can be supplied with plenty and be poor. You can live in the midst of peace and be disturbed. You can possess the richest prosperity and yet afflicted. We, to a very great extent, make our own position. God ordains providence, yes. And either grace make us happy or sin wreck us with pain, with sorrow. God does not make our misery. Don't get it mixed up. God does not make our misery the cause of all our problems, the cause of all our carnal anxious care is at our own door, not His. The true Christian, the genuine Christian, the truly born again Christian, with all his troubles, is more blessed than the mere professor who has very little to wax him, except that he waxes himself by making every little thing a ground or a place for worry. Magnifying, you know, going into all this small little misfortune and losing all patience and blaming others and blaming God for everything else. And this comes from his or her spirit of pride. Brethren, it is dishonoring and shame to the name of Christ, for if Christian be always in a state of sadness and misery, walking around, living their life day in, day out, as I said, with their heads hanging down, in misery, in sorrow, mournful, if you are always in that state, do you know, friends and brethren, we are bringing the shame and dishonor to the name of Christ, because the world will look at us. What is the difference between you and me? You, Christian, you have the same worry and all that cares I have it, and yet you respond in such a way, giving up, despair, and you say that you have a God who is all powerful, all wise, omnipotent. Does it make sense? And you tell me that your God is good, and you're asking me and inviting me to come to Jesus? No difference. And I look at your life, particularly your life when you handle crisis, when you go through all these troubles and afflictions and whatever that afflicts you, which is common to all men, and you always walk with your head down, as though there is no hope, and you tell me to come to Jesus. And beside all this care, not only lead us to sin, but it destroys our peace, as I've said, and they also weaken our usefulness to God. It's just like a sick person. If you are sick, physically sick, whatever the sickness may be, you know, even a slight cold, isn't it, affects us. Then how can you serve the Lord? How can you be of use to the Lord? How can you physically need to be with that person to share the gospel? You cannot. You see? So same likewise. Physical sickness affects us. This anxious care, excessive anxiety, will destroy our or weaken our usefulness to the Lord. Learn from Peter, brethren. Learn from Peter, who is a fisherman. Peter is fishing, and I want to bring this up to you. And what happened? It is in the parable, or rather in the gospel, if you remember. Peter is fishing, and then the Lord Jesus, what? The Lord Jesus needs a boat, or rather to need a pulpit to preach in. So what did Jesus do? He borrows Peter's boat, and he stands in that boat and preached to the crowd. But what about Peter's fishing? When his boat is being used, he cannot go out and fish, right? Oh, don't worry. You see, Peter knows. You honor God, God is no debtor. What happened? The Lord Jesus, the Master, will take care of that. No sooner has Jesus finished preaching his sermon, did you notice that? He says to Peter, launch into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And you know the conclusion of that event. Peter gets more in 10 minutes through letting Jesus have his boat to his master. He has more in 10 minutes by doing that than he might have done in 10 weeks if he has been fishing on his own account, relying on his own strength. Peter left his care with God, and God cared for him. Now, please do not misinterpret and misunderstand me that, oh, I pray about it, I commit this care or this concern to the Lord, and I sit down and do nothing. It is not in Scripture. Understand this very carefully, my dear friends. Do what you can as a person or as a human being, as God enable you, and leave the rest that you human, it is beyond our human effort, leave that to God. But you are responsible to do what you can. For example, if you are seeking for employment, don't just pray and you think, what? Manna from heaven drop right into your lap? Forget about it. That is human responsibility. So don't get it mixed up. Oh, I prayed, but no answer. Why no answer? Oh, I thought God is going to, you know, move someone to give me a call. Wow, you think you are a big shot, is it? That you will be headhunted. Wow, they call me. And you don't need to do anything? Forget about it. Those days of manna dropping from heaven is all over. Human responsibility. Alright, what's more? Beside that, this distressing care also destroy our Christian witness. As I said, when the non-believer look at us, caring with all this anxiety and looking so miserable, gone. Our testimony is gone. Our witness is gone. When unbelievers looking at us, seeing all the time we have no peace, no joy, what then? How can it be? How can this be that these Christians who confess and proclaim that their God is so good and so powerful, you mean right now God cannot sustain them anymore and God has failed in His promise to them? So therefore, brethren, remember, you carry the name of Christ. You carry the name of Christ, and therefore we are, and we have this duty to testify, to witness for Christ in our daily lives. I now come very quickly to the second point, the remedy for anxiety, or the remedy to be applied. We do not deny the fact, as Christians, or as any other person, we are weak, we are human. And for the Christian, we still have this old nature, this old corrupt nature in us. And therefore we need help. Somebody must carry this care, or help us to carry this care. I cannot do it alone, I cannot do it myself. And then can I find one? As a Christian, can I find one who will help me? Yes, there is one. The Lord Jesus, my Heavenly Father who is in heaven, stands waiting to be my burden bearer. That's what He said. That's what He promised in His Word. And with God's help, He says to us, believers, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Psalm 55 verse 22. And this is a blessed privilege, which is not accorded to other people except to God's children. So if God made that promise to me, that to cast my burden upon Him, dare I neglect it? Can I be wicked enough to reject it and to take it upon myself and then to blame God? Dear friends, here is the blessed remedy. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and He will sustain thee. So in order to apply this remedy by the help of God's Holy Spirit, one must first and foremost, or rather, the one major care or anxiety that comes to Christian is our daily bread. We do not deny that. Are you a Christian? If so, as I said just now, you and I must use all diligence, put in our effort. That's our duty. Honest, hard work is honorable to the Lord. And that is why God, in His common grace, and mercy. Bless even those who are not his children, who are unbelievers. The Lord do bless them when they put in honest hard work to feed themselves or for the care of themselves and their family. God honors that even for a non-believer. How much more for those who are Christians? And remember, the Lord Jesus says this to us, which I'm sure is very familiar to you. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto your stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Meaning to say what you wear. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is of no value, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:26-36. All these things shall be added unto you refers to all those things that you needed for this life. Needed. Not what you fancy. If you need a car, don't expect God to supply you with a Ferrari. You need a car. You don't need a Ferrari. You see what I'm saying? Therefore, brethren, use your most earnest endeavors. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. If you cannot do one thing, do another. If you cannot earn your bread as a gentleman, earn it as a poor man. If you cannot earn it by the sweat of your brain, then by the sweat of your brow. Do something for an honest living. For if they would not work, neither should he eat. Says the Apostle Paul in Thessalonians. But if you have done all, if you have honestly made every effort to support yourself to hard work, and the door of employment is still shut down, then humble yourself again and trust in God and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Psalm 37:3. For each Christian, we do not deny, for each Christian there will be times of personal troubles of high orders. Great stress, great troubles do come upon Christian, and one of it, or mainly for the Christian, spiritual care, spiritual attack from the evil one. But then again, Christian is begotten again unto a lively hope. And oftentimes we do not deny the fact that we Christian, we grow weak in our faith. We are bombarded by so many temptations around us, the old nature in us, that we need to fight and resist the temptation from the devil, the temptation from our colleague and our friends, and even from our non-believing family members. Brethren, let us immediately, when we are in such situation, do not allow that anxiety to fester, to grow. Immediately turn to the Lord. Cast this care upon God, for he cares for you. And then there are others that are other Christians that are afflicted. when they recall their past sin. Satan is very good at that, using our past sin to play through in our mind. Oh, all this evil and wickedness that you have done, those terrible things that you have said to your neighbors, those hurting words that you have said to your parents or whatever, or whoever, and all these things, Satan will bring it back to you. And say, and Christians do, as they think of it, they are affected. They are cast out. They begin to doubt whether God really forgive them. And so these are temptations that we face. And then, but turn to the Word of God. For the Christians who sin, immediately turn to the Word of God. 1 John 1:7. There have no temptation happened to you, but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, He will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. So brethren, when you are molested with all this anxious cares, worries, apprehension, and when Satan tempts you and cause your downfall, robs you of your peace by bringing up to you your past sin, by telling you, whispering to you that you are such a bad Christian, that you are not a Christian because you did this and you do it again and again, always remember, turn to the Lord Jesus, turn to His Word. He has promised to forgive to those who truly come to Him in humble repentance to confess your sin. And He made that promise to the Christians. Because Christians do sin. We cannot deny that. There is no perfect Christian on earth. So therefore, if those who are looking for a church where there are perfect Christians, everyone in that church is, forget about it. There is no such church. And if you choose only to go to that church, you have no church to go to in this world. Forget about it. Alright, so I come to my third point, and very quickly, time is running out. And that is the incentive to cast our burden upon the Lord. What is the incentive? He cares for you. He cares for you. Think of God's particular special providence over you, who are His blood-bought children. Psalms 72:14 says, precious shall their blood, whose blood? The blood of the saints, be in His sight. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Psalm 116:15. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. What are the promises you want to hear? And you know, go back to the Word of God. Do not allow Satan to distract you. Do not just look at your troubles, your difficulties, your anxieties, but look back at the Word of God. Reflect what God has done for you in the past. Can He who has delivered you and supplied all your need and delivered you from all your anxiety in the past so many times over and over again, will He right now fail you at your current or your present anxiety and cares and problems and difficulties? Cannot be, because He is God, who is the same yesterday, today and forever. He changes not. He changes not. And thirdly, bring your thoughts on His special love to you. I will never leave you nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. And God said again, Genesis 15:1. Fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Oh beloved, may the Holy Spirit make us feel that the promise being spoken in His Word is for me, is for you personally. for the promises are to you, meant for you, as you read it. Read the promises in the scripture yourselves, and hear the Master, the Lord Jesus, says unto you, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. John 14 verse 1. And but then I have a last word. You cannot find comfort in all these promises of the Word of God if you are not a believer. If you do not have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, His promises are not for you. And so, the first thing you need to do is to turn to Him. For He cares for you. He cares for your soul. He gave His life to die on the cross of Calvary for your soul. He cares for you. That's why He died. He loves you enough to send His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross of Calvary. That is the first thing you must do for those who are Christian before you can find comfort and rest and peace and true joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must turn to Him and receive Him as your personal Savior before you can understand and enjoy His promises. May you know what a Christian is and to know the Christian privileges. But I say to you, cast your sin upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus can take that. Jesus is ready to forgive to those who come to Him in broken spirit and contrite heart in true repentance. He will in no wise cast away. Let each Christian, let each saint, let each repentant sinner turn to the cross and to the throne of grace and say, Lord Jesus, unload us, unload from me my burden of guilt and care, and give us now your joy. And we shall go away here rejoicing, because God, all sufficient, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let us pray.